This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 27, 2022. Quinquagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree, so the expression of the thought discloses the cultivation of a man's mind.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Very poetic and very churchy. The fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree, so the expression of a thought discloses the cultivation of a man's mind. We prove what we think, we prove what we believe. Our Lord Jesus, he's not so flowery when he talks about it in the gospel. He says, by a tree's fruit, you will know it. Good fruit cannot come from a bad tree. Bad fruit cannot come from a good tree. We are now in the third week of preparation for Lent, as we approach Lent, which begins Wednesday. We have to understand that that part of the liturgical year, contrary to all the others, like Christmas, Easter, time after Trinity, all those times, we pray, we speak of the Word, we learn things from the Word, we hear what Jesus did. But during Lent is a time when we actually engage in with what Jesus, or should engage with what Jesus did for us. It is the time when we prove, not so much to anyone else, but to ourselves where we are. The fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree. Again, it sounds very poetic, but if we change the words up a little bit, the fruit that we bear, it discloses the spiritual formation of our faith, who we are in Christ. It is always waning. This is why we have Lent. It is because, and so, we can fix ourselves. When we can affix ourselves more to that foundation that is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is, should be, the Lord of everything that we are. We just do not live a faith. Faith and reason cannot be separated. Faith and reason are integral. Lent is that time of year when reason dictates that we do things to prove where we are, to prove that cultivation of our spirit. Are we where we're supposed to be? And first and foremost, that is to prove it to ourselves. When we say Jesus Christ is Lord, he must be the Lord of both whom we worship, and he must also be the Lord of our reasoning processes. And as I said, Lent is the time when it would be unreasonable to think that we would not engage in what our Lord did for us, to objectively appreciate what he did for us in some tremendously smaller way, but nonetheless still try to associate with him in the only objective way we can, his sufferings. We cannot objectively associate with Jesus Christ in his miracles. We've never seen one happen. And I mean a real one, like the Red Sea parted, blind people being made to see, people that have been crippled and unable to walk since birth get up and walk. We haven't seen that. There are a lot of counterfeit stuff out there trying to act like we see that, but we don't see things like that. We don't see things like that, so we can't look at Jesus. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. You walked on water. Yeah, I know how you did that. No, you don't know how he did that. You just believe that in faith. When you look at Jesus Christ and you see his sufferings, and then you make yourself, for a period of time, Lent, a little bit less comfortable than you normally are. No, I won't even hazard to say uncomfortable. Most of us won't put ourselves to the point where we're actually uncomfortable for any extended period of time. But if we are trying to do what we should do during Lent, we should make ourselves less comfortable. When you feel less comfortable, you engage with Christ. You make it real. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the expression, the disclosure of what we believe. This is why I'm always talking about the whole deal about the I go to Mass on Sunday, but I don't talk about religion around my family or around my friends because that just causes trouble. Yeah, just like it did for Jesus, it caused him trouble to the point where they hung on a cross. And we're supposed to follow that example. You get your feathers ruffled a little bit for proclaiming the faith. But I mean, this is what Lent is. Lent is, if I haven't done it, a lot of people approach the whole subject of judgment, Lent, this, that, or the other. I'm not that good. I can't do that. No, that's not where we want to go with this. This is a time where you ratchet it up. This is the time when you change things. This is the time when you make things better that need to be made better. And newsflash, we can all use a little bit better in our faith life. Lent expresses and discloses this. So as I said before, first and foremost to us, it is a time during which we express our Catholic faith. We prove to ourselves how well it's been cultivated within us as we hear of our Lord's sufferings, and then in some small way try to associate ourselves with him objectively in our own. It starts on Ash Wednesday. I mean, this whole disclosure manifestation of things, it starts out with a bang, the whole Ash Wednesday thing, the imposition of ashes. It never really ceases to amaze me, Ash Wednesday. You know, a lot of people talk about Christmas and Easter Catholics. They only go to Mass on Christmas and Easter. There are Catholics, I know because I see the numbers in this place, there are Catholics who don't go to Mass on Christmas and Easter, and they waltz in here on Ash Wednesday. I don't get it. Well, I do, but we don't need to go there right now. But anyway, they are. I did an Ash Wednesday Mass one time at Nemours Children's Hospital, and this Protestant guy walked in. I knew right off he was a Protestant because he looked at me, and he said, "Sir, that's not a Catholic. Can I get ashes?" Like, I actually thought for a second, like, I don't know, okay. Like, hey, it's a sacramental. It's like holy water. You're asking for them. Can do nothing but good for you. Yeah, you sure can. Even Protestants want ashes on Ash Wednesday. Why? Because if you really think about, you know, when it's imposed on, what is the traditional formula for the imposition of ashes? Remember, O man, that thou art dust, and to dust thou wilt return. That's a heavy reality. This is why Ash Wednesday is what it is, because it's starting a period of time when we receive a tremendous dose of reality. The reality of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us, what he expects of us. And he expects things from us, not because these are my rules, and if you don't do them, I'm going to smite you. He wants you to get closer to him. That's why he wants us to do the things that he wants us to do during Lent. He wants us to disclose to ourselves how close we are to him. So this is the whole ashes, fasting, corporal works of mercy and penance, the whole deal. We manifest ourselves. Yeah, I have some semblance of control over the desires of my body, what I want to eat, what I want to do. Doing things that I normally don't do. All these things manifest. They, as the prophet says, they disclose the cultivation of our spirituality. You know, I don't care, you know, if you're into the gardening thing or not. Everybody gets the whole deal of, you know, if you just leave things alone, yeah, well, they grow on their own, yeah, but they look kind of ratty. And they don't look as nice, and they don't produce as well. Is if you take a little bit of time and you go out there and you prune and you fertilize and you do all these other things and water more often. Yeah, it hasn't rained in 2 weeks. My plants are looking kind of bad. Well, that's up to you to go water them. When we look at our own spirituality like that, it's not bearing the fruit. It looks kind of ratty. That's what Lent's for. It's the fertilizer time, pruning time, watering time. This is what it's there for. We're not supposed to keep our faith to ourselves. We're supposed to live it, that others see this kind of stuff that you're doing. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, every tree is known by its fruit. Notice it doesn't say every tree is known by its faith. It's known by its fruit. The second reading today, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, not in the faith of the Lord. We can talk about having faith till we're blue in the face. He wants us to prove it. Prove it to yourself. Yeah, this whole deal, when I start hearing things like 3 days into Lent, oh yeah, I stopped because I didn't. That's tremendously sad. That shows the cultivation of your faith within you. Bring yourself to a point where you bring your Lenten exercises and disciplines to the point where I think I might be able to do this, and that's where you. And if you can't do it, you just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and continue on. You don't stop. Stopping is not good for us. I would hazard to say that it is tremendously detrimental, because when we're doing Lent, we're doing what Jesus wants us to do. Notice our Lord, he doesn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. Well, when might that be? When I decide? Well, the church decides historically that you should fast every day during Lent. This is, you know, that whole thing that I handed out, still a couple copies out there, about the differences between the traditional rules and the new rules. They are quite telling. But I also am not one of those people who think that, you know, because back in the day, you were bound under pain of sin to fast. You better fast every year. You're under pain of sin. As cool as that sounds to me, I don't think it's right. Because nobody should be forced to have a faith. You can't force people to have a faith. It's like people run around and cut your head off if you don't believe like they believe. You don't get a whole lot of traction with that kind of stuff. You convince people. You convince people to believe in Jesus Christ. You convince them why they should do what he says. If nothing else, then to like point them to the fact that he does say that. Because notice the gospel reading today. It cuts off the next verse. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He says to fast. He says to do penance. That's what he says. He's not your Lord if you don't. Jesus is my Lord, but I don't have to do those things. He says you have to do those things, and if a Lord tells you you have to do something, then you do them. And if you don't do them, he's not your Lord. Everyone that cometh to me and heareth my words and doth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And he goes into that whole, he's like a householder who builds his house on a rock. Rocks are in nature the most solid and, dare I say, rigid things that you find. Jesus doesn't by accident say, found your house on a rock. Contrary to what you hear, rigidity is good. It's what we want. It's just not a subjective good. It's what we want. Rigidity does not mean you have, an emotional problem or a psychological problem if you are rigid. The question that was posed, that I heard once asked, why the rigidity? Most of us should have a very, very simple answer to that question, because Jesus says so. He says you found your house on a rock, and he sought this house in which he dwells, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. It must be founded on a rock. It must be rigidly attached to that rock. Or what does it say? Great will be the ruin of that house unless it is founded rigidly on that rigid rock. This is our faith. This is why we should be very cautious of some of the things that we hear in our day and age, because it's not of our faith. It's something different. Yeah? I'll get into the whole debate on that. It's different than what Jesus is saying here. I always throw the gauntlet. You know, I always say, I'm throwing the gauntlet. Find somewhere where Jesus says, you know, you should really be kind of, you know, lukewarm. Oh, what does he say? If you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. You should be malleable. You should be, you know, no, never, anywhere, nowhere does the Holy Spirit tell us that we're supposed to be anything less than rigid. Jesus communicates the more rigid, the better. This isn't just Jesus. This is Old Testament stuff. That first reading today, a couple verses before we started the reading, unless thou hold thyself diligently in the fear of the Lord, thy house shall fall quickly. That whole fear of the Lord thing. I mean, at the end of the day, this is what this is all about. What did Scripture say? How many times? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where everything starts. The fear of the Lord. If by chance you go somewhere and you do hear the fear of the Lord mentioned, it's usually followed by something that is an explanation why you shouldn't really fear him. Oh no, you're not really talking about fear. We're talking about respect. We're talking about fear. You know why? Because fear is a good thing. It is not. Yeah, it is. It's something that's innate within us to help us keep ourselves from getting killed and dying. Again, I'm not a heights fan so much. I get like, you know, I'm up on something high that doesn't have a rail around it. I'm like, okay. Why? Because I'm afraid of heights. Why? Because if you fall from a great height, you will die. You know, I know some guys who like jump out of perfectly good airplanes and all this kind of stuff. More power to you. Have fun with that gravity thing. Hey, if you want, that's your deal. That's why. I just don't personally see the benefit of doing something like that. We're fearful of things. I'm afraid of walking out into Edgewater Drive with my eyes closed. I wouldn't do that because I'm afraid of getting hit by a car. Fear is good. It's a self-preservation thing. We're talking about temporal stuff here. What about eternity? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. He's the one that dictates whether you go into heaven or to hell. We should fear that decision. And just like I kind of stay back from when there's a ledge and I don't walk into Edgewater Drive with my eyes closed, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to be in conformity with what our Lord Jesus Christ says about how to associate with him. I'm going to try my best to rigidly, and particularly in my case, it's my job to stand up here and tell you God's truth, not try to expound what somebody else says. He says that we are to be rigid. That's what Lent's for. And because every year, this house, this tabernacle of the Holy Spirit is blown back and forth by this event, that event, that event. And just like after a hurricane, something else we're afraid of, I mean, we start looking at them for like months in advance. There's a tropical depression on the coast of Africa. Another continent. There's an ocean between, you know, then all of a sudden, man, people are buying water and everything because there's a depression on the coast of Africa. Why? Because we're afraid of the storm. It's a good thing. We prepare ourselves. Fight or flight. You know, get water, hunker down, live, or run away. We should never run away in our faith. Yeah, you should. You should run from sin. So the reality, our Lord uses these analogies for real. We should be afraid of storms. We should be afraid of heights. We should be afraid of walking out the street with our eyes closed. We should fear the Lord diligently, as the prophet says. This is what we do in Lent. We prove it. We prove that we'll do what he says. We'll prove that we will put ourselves out for an extended period of time to try ourselves to associate with him more closely. It is if after a hurricane, oh man, I think I have this on the roof, or I don't know about this on the foundation, I don't know about sinkholes. What do? You call a contractor in, he checks the stuff out. If it's okay, it's okay. He might replace a load-bearing wall, he might replace your roof, you know, whatever. He's going to fix it up. That's what Lent does. We get fixed up. We get shored up. More strongly attached to the rock that is Christ. He doesn't by accident call himself the rock, the chief cornerstone, the stone whom the builders rejected. Never once does he call himself the sand for anything. It's always about rigidity. always. This is why when you hear things that you might hear, you should just shut down immediately and just move on. Don't complain about it. Just move on and do what the Lord dictates that we do. Get as close to Him as possible. This is what you're doing during Lent, or I should say, what you should be doing during Lent. Our faith is rational. Reason discloses itself by what we express. We express it during Lent, first and foremost. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.